For 3.5 years, Jesus Christ walked with a few people that he called his disciples. He called them from different walks of life, showed them many things, taught them many things. But before he left, Luke chapter 24, verse 45, was an important and necessary thing he had to do. Let's read that together, if we can. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. In verse 44, he began to explain to them. It says in verse 44, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. After he explained that to them, he did something. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Now in my Bible, I have this underlined because I began to ask myself, up till this point, did they not understand the scripture? Maybe they did, but not well enough. See, there are things that we experience in our lives that the only thing that will take us through those things are understanding of scripture. Because if we don't, 3.5 years, they saw the dead come to life. 3.5 years, they saw him heal the blind. 3.5 years, they saw him teach with outstanding authority. Yet they did not understand scripture. They couldn't put it together. It was just gaps in their lives. But God did something. He opened their understanding. Today, I want us to start by asking God, Lord, open my understanding. Open my understanding. Today, speak to me. Whether I speak for 20 minutes or I speak for 25 minutes, God can take it and he can expound it more, deeper in your heart. Because that's where the tire hits the road. That's where the tire hits the road. I tell you, this is a word church. I know that it is a word church. And the word has been coming consistently, Sunday in and Sunday out. But you know, some of us are still struggling. Why? Because we have not discovered Luke chapter 24, verse 45. And God is saying, I want to open your understanding. I want you to begin to understand scriptures afresh. Father, help us today. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, help me today to bring forth your word with power and with authority. It is never anything that is deficient in your word. Sometimes it could be the vessel. Sometimes it could be the recipient. Lord, but today, help the vessel and help the recipient. Amen. Lord, today, together, let us be beneficiaries of your glory. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now you can turn around and just welcome somebody. And then you can have your seat. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Amen. As you do so, I want to speak for 25 minutes. And I want to talk to you today about the God of all seasons. Shared with Pastor, and Pastor said this season of the year, we are thanking God. And many people have different reasons to thank God. And the brother that came and had so much to talk about, but we didn't have time to hear him out, has already preached my message. We have reasons to be thankful to God. I want to ask you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Very quickly, I will look at verses 1 and 2. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Bible says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid had not anything in the house except for a pot of oil. In verse 7, 2 Kings 4, 7 says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and leave, thou and thy children of the rest. We have all been witnesses of the grim realities that suddenly came upon the world what we call the recession, what we call the credit crunch, and every other thing in between has affected all of us. I had a meeting recently with a few colleagues, and I was asking the question, what should we be telling our congregation at a time like this? How do we encourage one another? And the answer to that, that the Lord laid upon my heart, is what has formed into this message. I've preached it in Holding Forth, where God comes from time to time. And it is to talk to you about the God of all seasons. The one who is there before the prophet died. Or rather, the one who was there before the prophet died, but they were still struggling to make ends meet. The one who was still there after the prophet had died, and things seemed to have gone from bad to worse. The one who was still there when the man of God spoke and prosperity ensued. We're talking about the God who never takes a break. We're talking about the God who is always there with you, through the thick and through the thin. That's what I want to share with us this morning. And maybe those of us who live in this part of the world, we will understand the concept of seasons. Because we understand what it is for there to be summer, for there to be winter, for them to be autumn. We know the four seasons. And one interesting thing is, they don't ask for your permission to come. Have you ever woken up in the morning and, you know, you look out in through the window and you say, wow, everywhere covered, white. My wife is so happy. Because then she goes to the radio. Whether they're going to announce my school, maybe the snow, maybe the school's... Are you sure they haven't mentioned my school, that it is short? Seasons, natural seasons. Summer, yielding to autumn, yielding to winter or spring. They don't announce themselves. They just come. They don't need your permission. They just come. And sometimes, it is the same thing with the seasons of life. It just comes. You are thinking one thing, wake up in the morning, everything is fine, and in the evening, you are at the walking center. That is the season of life. Wake up, trying to get out of bed, and you are wondering why you are trying to swing your feet off the bed, but you cannot move them. I'm talking about those seasons of life. Take, for example, the Bible said the manna ceased. Concerning the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Verses 9 to 12. Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 to 12. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow, after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. Verse 12. Are we together? Everybody's here. Nobody is in Tesco. Nobody is in Costco. Spiritually, you are here. Okay, everybody, soul and spirit. All right. And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. Do you understand what it means? For 40 years, God has been your waiter. He has been your caterer. 40 years. And then all of a sudden, this source of sustenance ceases. Do you understand what it means for leadership? Oh, we were meeting at the primary school in Oldbrook. Similar setting to what you have here. But I thank God for the grace you're enjoying here. Because every time, one teacher will complain, oh, the children must have moved to the crayon. One thing after the other, the headmistress kept asking me to come and see her because she was being, you know, a lot of pressure was being put on her because it was not easy. And then the woman reluctantly one day said, I'm sorry, I have to tell you that you have to leave. That was sometime in October. And so I said to her, if we have to leave, then we do have to leave. Give us till December. And I believe God will sort something out. Before December that year, the opportunity for us to move into New Bradwell as tenants opened up because God was able to give us an opportunity. It's the same thing here. Do you know what it means for leadership for the manor to cease? Do you know what it means for leadership for the headmistress to tell you can't meet again? Where are we going to? How do we answer those questions? Do you know what it is for a father, for his son Isaac to ask him, I see this, I see that, but where is the main thing? Do you know what it is for Christmas to approach and your son or your daughter come up to you and say, Dad, everything looks bare this year. What's happening? And you are trying to hide the letter of the bailiff? That morning you just got a letter posting you to another department that you know does not exist, so really they're asking you. I'm talking about the manna season for the children of Israel. 40 years they enjoyed this privilege. One day the manna ceased. But I want to introduce you to the God of all seasons. The Bible says here, verse 12, and the manna ceased, but it did not cease until the day after they had eaten of another source of provision. When one door is going to shut, God in his loving kindness opens another door for you. Yes. That is the God that I'm talking to you about. He's a wonderful God. He's the one who told us in his word he's able to make all things work together for good. Brother, I tell you, I have been encouraged by that testimony. If you can email me the full thing, I will appreciate it. All things. He said, I lost a car and we're down to one car. And so it led to, you know, being able to talk, which otherwise might not have existed. That is part of all things working together for good. You know what God has done for us? He has helped our understanding that we might begin to understand scripture. Maybe before now, you know, you struggle to, how do all things work together for good? God is letting you see that somehow you might not know why it is that you had to spend 3 weeks at the walk-in center. They call it walk-in center because it's supposed to be fast service. You go in there, they sort you out, and you come back. But when a one-day affair becomes a three-week affair, sister, God had to bring you here so as to encourage you. You said it was tough for you to say those things. You will begin to speak before congregations without any issues anymore in the name of Jesus. Because the boldness for you to declare the goodness and the faithfulness of God is upon you. Amen. I said to the church recently, I said, all of us are like the madman of Gadarene. The suit is nice. The coat looks good. And I'm sure you enjoy that the tie is fine. But you see, there's a madman of Gadarene inside all of this. And except God will come and say, lose him and let him go, I don't have... I'm on a track leading to a destiny that God does not want for me. The madman of Gadarene had everything wrong, but God had everything right in mind for him. He could have lived. I like to look at it this way: the alternative ending to the life of the madman of Gadarene. He could have just died a hopeless case. He was living among dead people in the tombs. He had no friends. The Bible said he was naked. He was deranged. That could have been his lot all through his life. But the difference between that destiny and the true destiny that God had for him was that he met with Jesus. That was that he understood scriptures. And after all said and done, he came to Jesus and said, you know what, I want to join your party. Jesus said, I have saved you so you can be a blessing to other people. Sister, God has given you that boldness and that testimony so that you can fear no more. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is able to make all things work together for good. He said so. And I've often wondered, that is an audacious claim to make. But God can make it. Yes. He is the only one who can, and he has made it. The very idea that all of those things, the good, the bad, the ugly, somehow God is able to use it to work together on my behalf. I think that's the reason why we call him the Almighty God. And he will show himself as almighty, amen, even in your situation, amen, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many of us struggle with how to understand that can be true. But I'll tell you a story about the old man who had one son and a horse. One day his horse broke free and went galloping off to freedom in the nearby hills. The man's neighbors sympathized with him. What very bad luck to have lost your horse, they said. Why do you say that? Replied the old man. Who is to say whether it is bad luck? And sure enough, the very next night, the horse returned. Behind him came 12 wild horses, which he had led back home with him. The man's son quickly closed the gate of the paddock, and instead of one horse, they now had 13. And the neighbors, thank God for neighbors, the neighbors came, they stared at the paddock, and they said, what extraordinary good luck to have 13 horses. Why do you say that? The old man replied. Who is to say whether it is good luck? A little while later, the old man's son went out riding one of the new horses. But the horse was still wild and threw the boy off its back, and the boy fell and broke his leg. The neighbors came round to commiserate with the old man. What very bad luck, they said, that your son has broken his leg. Why do you say that? The old man asked. Who is to say whether it is bad luck? And indeed, a short while later, the military came to the village, conscripting all able-bodied young men to go to fight in a war where many of them would lose their lives. It must have been Iraq. But when they saw the old man's son lying there with a broken leg, they passed him by and went on their way. How lucky you are, the neighbor said. And the wise man smiled. Somehow we don't know there are events that happen in our lives. What we need to do is step back and look at it and say, Lord, what is it that you are teaching me here? What is the lesson you want me to learn here? And it is the manner in which we predispose our mind about what to believe that is very important. It plays an important part in determining how we respond to what life throws at us. Whether we are up, whether we are down, whether we are happy, whether we are not so happy, depends on the worldview, the perspective to which in which you want to see what it is that you are going through. In his book, Miracles Don't Just Happen, Dr. Lester Sumrall writes, the shoes which I had been wearing for about a year and a half since leaving San Francisco wore out completely in China. I purchased a pair of Chinese shoes, but was unable to find a size large enough for my big American feet. Although they never did fit properly, they looked nice enough. I wore those Chinese shoes from China to Japan, across Siberia and Russia to Europe and into England. This was still during the Depression. And for a revival service, I would often receive 10 shillings or something, or sometimes £1. With the expenses of travel, it was impossible to save anything. I didn't see how I would ever get enough money to buy a steamship ticket back to America. See, recession and economic troubles did not start with our generation. There are people who have lived before us, and somehow God has sustained them in difficult times. I'm sharing with you a true life story. I prayed, this is Lester Sumrall, I prayed, now Lord, here I am, stuck in England, like most of us. Stuck in England, and I need the money to get to America. No one knows it but you, Lord. And I'm telling you because you already know what I need. I was scheduled to preach in a small church in a little town in the Midlands. When I arrived, the pastor's wife greeted me by saying, there is a parcel here for you, Brother Sumrall. I wondered, how does anyone know I am here? I hardly know where I was myself. I graciously accepted the package. We did not have a return address or even a postmark to show where it had been posted from. Opening it, I was surprised to find a beautiful pair of shoes. Still doubting the miracle that was happening, I said, now wait a minute. How are these supposed to fit me when I don't even know my own size? In those days, I never bought shoes by size, but by trying on different pairs until I found one that fit. The shoes were handmade and of the finest leather. Anxiously, I tried on the left foot, and it felt better than any feet I had ever had before in my life. I tried on the right shoe, and to my dismay, my foot would not go into it. Doubt sprang up and said, see there, you should have known this was just too good to be true. How many people have had that kind of doubt in their heart? You know, you say, it's too good to be true. Many years ago, the Lord laid it upon my heart, and I had to relocate to Nigeria. And so many things. It was a time when things were not working. The exchange rate wasn't even as bad as, but I just felt I had to go. And I did. I left. On the other side, Things were not working on this side. On the other side, things were working too well. It was looking too good to be true. Do you know what I started to do? I started to get scared. That things were happening too good to be true. So I can understand what Lester Sumrall is saying here. Those doubts always speak to our heart. Those doubts, those issues always tell you, you're not going to make it this time. That provision, you think this is of God. The shoes didn't fit the right foot. It didn't fit. I was disappointed. But in my disappointment, I reached my hand into the right shoe only to discover that in the toe was a roll of English pounds wrapped in a piece of paper. I counted them out, an equivalent of 250 American dollars. This was the exact tourist class fare I needed to cross the Atlantic by boat. God had met both my needs. You see, sometimes, again, like my brother shared in the testimony, we do not recognize the fact that God is closer than we think, than we know. When we pray and we close our eyes and we say, our Father who art in heaven, automatically your brain begins to tell you that heaven is, what have the scientists called it? What's the distance between here and the sun? You know, some trillion. So you begin to tell yourself that God, who is even further than the sun, must be what? A ridiculous distance away from you. Because that's what we have been programmed to think. In this story I've just shared with you about Lester Sumrall, you can put your situation and your circumstance there. God met both of his needs and he had nothing to do. All he did, he prayed in the quietness of his room. Lord, you are the only one I'm saying this thing to. And somebody sent him. He didn't even know who. There was no return to sender indication of how, where it came from. Nothing. Why would you think that those things you talk to God about this morning, why would you think he has not heard you? And those things that you're going to begin to talk to him in the next 5 minutes, I want you to have the confident assurance that he will hear you, that indeed he has heard you. There are so many things that can worry us and trouble us. You don't need to add to it. All you need to do is switch on the radio or put on the TV. There are not worrying news coming from that. Well, there's something you call the news of the world and the news of the word. And the news of the word says that he will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on him. That's the God that I've come to share with you this morning. You know, we can go on and on and encourage ourselves deeper and deeper about the faithfulness of this God. But I just want you to know that whether the economy is up, whether the economy is down, the most important thing is, what is your own reality? When God took his servant to the valley of the dry bone, Ezekiel, he said, look at these dry bones. Can they live or not? It was a reality test. And the same thing he's asking you and asking me. And I'm trying to encourage as many people as come across my path as possible that we have to walk in the dimension of signs and wonders now. First time I came to this country was in 1988, before I relocated back for another 10 years. But before I came in 1988, the only way I could know what was happening in Britain was the information that people who had been would share with me or what I would see on telly. Nothing prepared me for the countercultural experience that I got when I came here. And I don't mean it in a negative sense. I'm just trying to tell you the difference between what God is saying and what we are experiencing. When I got to this country, I would not have believed that you could live in a city, drive in a country where your horn would be irrelevant. I didn't believe it because where I'm coming from, I don't know whether you guys are British raised, where I'm coming from, your horn is as busy as your trafficator. You see your friend on the road, you salute him and you give him two. Papam. So if anyone tried to tell me that you can live in a country or live in a city where your horn, I don't remember the last time I used my horn, I would struggle with accepting the fact that it is true. For you to drive a car and not use a horn, God is telling us about the provision he has in his own kingdom. He tells us about his own reality. Can your dry bones live? It's a reality where he comes from. But you struggle with it. Again, where I come from, you've got to have barbed wire fence and bottles on those fences. Now I open my door and I'm straight onto the road. And I'm asking, if somebody had told me, you can live in a house that doesn't have a fence. The Bible says that there is coming a time we will not need the sun anymore. Because he will be the sun. If he's going to be the sun, then he can be your provider now. He can be your healer now. He can be your restorer now. All you need is a reality. I want you to stand up on your feet and begin to ask God. He said, come up hither. Let me show you things. Let me invite you into a new reality. Because that's the reason why we have not gotten the fullness of what we need to get. Because we are still stuck in a reality that not his own reality. And so let's begin to ask God, Lord, bring me into your own reality. In your own reality, in your own realm, nothing is impossible. An angel came to a woman who had never met a man. And she said, you are going to be with child. And she said, that is a different reality. But if that is God's reality, I'm willing to believe it. I don't know what your needs are this morning. But the one thing you need is Jesus Christ in your life. That is the ultimate reality. Because once you have Christ in your life, every other thing will be added onto it. I want you to begin to ask God. He will help you. He will help you. If you are here this morning, you know you are here, and you have not come in on a stretcher. God has been faithful to you. You know that God has done it before. You are confident that he can do it again. What is that mountain before you today? It is not by might. It is not by power. It is going to be by his Spirit.
Come on, keep praying. Keep thanking the Lord because we know that his eye is on the sparrow. Come on, we have a God that never fails.